Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for letting us be together, sharing the word, sharing your praise and worship, Lord. Hallelujah. That was an awesome word, Richie, that the Lord is opening a new source. I really feel for us to, one of the things is not to forget this. Over the next few weeks, rehearse this, that the Lord is opening sources that we may not realize, but He's right there by your side. Years ago, there was a very famous speech given by a well-known speaker in the early part of the last century called the Acres of Diamonds. This man who was looking for provision. What he didn't realize was he was sitting on top of the acres he owned had diamond mines on it. And just right there, the Lord is opening. May that be a prayer for you and your children and your grandchildren. Let's claim this prophetic word. When we get, we are Holy Ghost Church. We are guided by the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that the foundations of this church, how we have flowed as a fellowship, is we're guided by the Holy Spirit and we receive His word. And I really believe that the prophetic is being quickened even more so than ever. And so I would encourage you to be open to get a word, not just for yourself, but for others. I think Richie's word for us is for each of you, that you claim it. One time, one of our CDs is called Enthroned. And it was as a result we were involved in blessing a church in Atlanta. We used to pastor that church too. So we would share per month. I would go once a month and Bonnie would go once a month. And then we would have some of the others, the local leaders, also share. But I really enjoyed that part of our calling. So this particular weekend, it was Bonnie's assignment, and with Jenna, and didn't know whether it was Bill and Jenna or just, but Bill and Jenna were accompanying Pastor Bonnie, and while she was gone, I was in prayer for the word for the next day. It was on Saturday, and suddenly, I heard the atmosphere totally changed in the house. There was an electricity. It was like so full of static. How you feel, there is a static electricity. But this was, the whole house was filled with that. And suddenly filled with light. And an angel was standing before me. Not a vision. A real angel was standing. And his armor was smoking as if he had been in battle. He was a young looking angel and he had a sword in his hand, but he had come from a battle, and I didn't know what battle he came from, but he looked at me and smiled and said, "How big is your chair?" And that's where he carried a prophetic word. He had come pretty much directly from the presence of the glory. So the glory fill the house, and it's I just want you to know, sometimes if you feel, and I bless you tonight, that you will get angelic visitations, that's part of the prophetic vibration we're getting. And that so you may want to buy a new set of Pampers, so, because it does affect you bodily. I mean, it, every part of your being is in, not that I had, but it feels like you lose your bodily function. You lose everything. You are just blah, because it is so awesome. On one end, you feel like it's such utter joy. He had just come from the glory. And so he was vibrating with the love, the joy, the triumph, the victory of the presence of the Shekinah. And then he said, how big is your chair? And then the meaning came across that the God is enthroned in the praises of his people. And the amount of praise that you have and how much you create, it's part of your responsibility to provide or make practical a throne for God to sit on. He is enthroned on the praises of his people. So we actively, and it's such a joy for us that we have for 25 years, this July 4th is 25 years of us starting the All Nations and starting the church here and the watch. Basically, it began with the watch of the Lord and watching and praying. After 25, I think God's putting us, promoting us to the next level. The Moravians were famous for holding a prayer meeting, basically the watch. I didn't know it until I read afterwards. I just got the name Watch of the Lord. But later I realized someone pointed out the history of the Moravians, and they also had a Watch of the Lord. And they continued this watch 100 years. So we are a quarter of the way to what the Moravians were able to successfully. That's not bad. So I want to commend the people who have been faithfully coming and continue to commit yourself. It puts a kind of discipline that we need to have of prayer, of worship, of being in a disciplined way, regularly coming together to worship the Lord, to thank him, to praise him, because he is worthy. Not because we want to get something. But the funny thing is, you will get something. There is always a benefit of worshiping and praising the Lord. So on that day, the angel came, and it was, the thing was that the presence was so alive. It filled the glory, filled the house, and the room was just vibrating. And I didn't know whether it was for me time to die and get in the glory again, and the total glory. It's fun. I just want you to know, you don't want to be anywhere else but where the glory is. Just that's part of the secret. Azusa's revival, when you read about the revivals or the Cambridge revival, people didn't want to go away. The glory was so thick that it's addictive. I call it the glorious addiction, because you get addicted to the presence of God, and you don't want to be any. I mean, you are jealous that you have to go to the bathroom. I mean, you don't want to leave the gathering where the glory is. So here was an experience in the glory, and then from the there was a presence, and then a living glory that was like a pillar circling around this angel, and there were layers of glory around him, and they were alive with written word and spoken word around him, and it was in different scripts, in languages I didn't know even existed, it was in different hieroglyphics and letters of different languages that have been on the earth, and the word was in that, and it didn't matter what language I picked. I could have picked one word or this word, and it was alive. The word of God is alive and active and full of power. We want to pick that, not just for ourselves, but for our children and for the church and for the nation, that we keep that God keep alive and bless our nation. And so all of these are part of the burdens we have, not bad in a negative sense, but in a positive sense, that's our duty, and it's our joy to do what God has called us to. So I was, the word some of those promises and words were just woo, woo, hitting me. And as they were hitting me, they were alive and they were staying inside me. And I can't contain this. It's too much. It's too much. And the Lord said, you will remember them. And later, days later, I started writing those words down, and that's what made the CD Enthroned, is basically most of those words that were from the presence of the glory as the angel was there. And the thing was, the funny thing, this was, it happened to me, so it was so precious that for a little while I didn't feel like sharing it. But the moment Bonnie and Jenna and Bill came into the house, they brought her back from Atlanta, and she just came there. And one of the things I found out is I can't hide anything from my wife. She's just give up on lying to her, because she will discern immediately. So she was there. She didn't say. She said, something happened. What happened? An angel came. And she read my clock. I mean, just right there. And I said, yeah, an angel visited me. The glory was permeating. And the thing was, as the angel was present, I heard, one of the things I heard was this song, Come Thou Almighty King, help us thy praises sing. I don't know why I heard that. Anyway, so I said, well, the angel was, the armor was smoking as if it had been in fire. Do you have something?
The thing that I was going to say is that when we walked in the door, all of us who were together, who came from Atlanta, there was a presence in the air. It was like how the smell of rain comes before rain comes. But rain is in the air because of the atmosphere, and you smell it. But when we walked into that room, in through the front door where Mahesh was sitting, the atmosphere, as he said, was literally charged, clearer, something glorious. We walked into this presence, and that's what I said. It was the presence of heaven. I knew it. It was a different thing, and that's what I said. But when you told us that you had seen an angel, at that moment, it was like a wind with a word in it came in my ear and went out the other side. And I'll never forget, at that moment, it was like the Lord whispered or blew into my ear something, knowledge of where that angel came from. And I said, that angel was from the Revolutionary War. And the glory came, and then Jenna whipped out her phone and Googled, because you told us you heard the words, Come Thou Almighty King, but it wasn't from the tune of the hymn the way that we sing it. And in fact, Jenna Googled it, and the first thing that came up on the Google thing, this was years ago, was the story of this song being sung in a congregational church on a Sunday service when the mercenaries, the British mercenaries, came in and they were making everyone swear allegiance to the king during the Revolutionary War on pain and threat of death and imprisonment and all that stuff. And this congregational church on Long Island, in Long Island, New York, on a Sunday morning. Well, apparently, I didn't know this. It happens to be 9/11 right now, but I didn't know this. But you said that you heard that song, Come Thou Almighty King, but it was a different tune. Jenna looked it up, and it said that this congregational church, when the soldiers told them that they had to swear allegiance to the king of England instead of be patriots, the congregation started singing that song. And this is the history of that song as they would have sang it. I didn't know this particular part. It says that the hymn appeared anonymously in George Whitefield's hymn book, published in 1757. So it had been around for a while and had been being sung. It is usually attributed to Charles Wesley, but was probably published anonymously for a good reason. Scholars think Wesley wrote this hymn as an imitation of the English national anthem, God Save Our Gracious King, because that's the tune that you heard it to. Yeah. And we sing Our Country 'Tis of Thee to that tune. But it used to be that it was this hymn that was sung that way in the beginning. The national anthem had just been written, and it had become popular throughout England. This hymn may have been Wesley's way of keeping priority straight, of essentially singing, we only have one king.
Yeah. And the angel, you said, came from the Revolutionary War.
Came from the Revolutionary War.
So angels are beyond time and space. So it's they can be here this time, but they could be in another time in history. The time travel, how about that? Before Mr. Spock and Captain Kirk found out about it, they could do it. The angels do it. That would be to the tune of something that Richie and I could sing. Come thou almighty King, help us thy praise to sing. Come and anyway, we'll do that in a moment. We're going to sing that song.
Really, really but excited about I said I can tell Rich is really excited about this duo.
I wanted to spare them my voice.
Yes. But we were, our backgrounds are British, because I was raised up in a British colony, and he's British, or his background is, let us say. But just saying, be open. I really believe there are just things that are happening that are cooking that are just don't miss. This is a really glory time. And God wants to set up divine meetings. And the moment you release, you just say a little bit and the rest the Lord will do. I felt like I was, by the way, I've been gone, but been busy. So weekend before last, I was in Montreal with a whole group, wonderful our friends here. Blaise, you will get a witness of this, but thousands of people from the Congo, Cameroons, Ivory Coast, they have immigrated to the French-speaking part of Canada called Quebec. And so there are thousands of people there that from Congo. And so I greeted them all in Lingala. It was like I was at home there. This is because a lot of our missions was in the Congo. We love both Bonnie. Bonnie Sphinx is more fluent in Lingala than I am. But I was able to greet our, there was a massive numbers of people from the Congo, but also from Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, and Cameroons, and all that, who are French, former French-speaking colonies. And it was just wonderful to see how the glory was just waiting to move over these people. And then just day before yesterday, two, 3 days ago, I was, of course, the last week I was all week in Ashland. I spoke at 6. I opened their camp meeting. And it's a glory place. It's one of the great glory places in the United States. And it's the remnant, the left of the living ember of Azusa is there at that camp meeting. And one of the things that happened, it's so alive. And there were, among the people who came up to the altar were 7 kids from Ethiopia, from 6, 7, 11, and they were just sweet. They came up to the altar. I said, they put their heads. I said, you want the Holy Spirit? yes. I said, take the Holy Spirit. And they fulfilled, and their tongue was some of the, I mean, the most, some of the most fluent language came out of them. They were just praising the Lord. It was so exciting and fun to see the Holy Spirit move over the children. So I just, I'm still vibrating, so just take some of that for yourself and for your children. May the Holy Spirit just zap them. Even tonight, we want to stay in the glory. And we're still in July 4th weekend. So I think we can legally say we're in the July 4th weekend, correct? So, by the way, we have a July 4th, a celebration of our independence and freedom of the United States. This Sunday, we're going to share, we got to celebrate with hot dogs and cheeseburgers. So, it's not patriotic to miss that. So come prepared to eat a hot dog or a cheeseburger, and we'll sanctify them in Jesus' name, bless them. But we'll gather together. It's great. I don't know whether we're going to have a visit from George Washington and other characters. Sometimes we did get visited by that. By, who is the one who rescued? Harriet Tubman.
Different ones, yep.
Yeah, different characters. So we really want to recognize and thank the Lord for our liberty, our freedom. I was meditating for a moment, for a little bit. We go to thank the Lord for the flag and what it means. And we're thinking about, I was thinking about symbols of freedom. I remember even as my kids, our kids with children were growing up, we would often, I have been every year, been two or three times to Texas for the last, 35, 37 years. But as our children were growing up, they would we would end up in Texas. And we enjoyed being in the San Antonio area, Austin area, and San Antonio. And San Antonio, which symbol of freedom is in San Antonio? Can someone, this is a quiz.
Alamo.
Hey. Who said Alamo?
Ronnie.
Jill, you said?
No, he did.
Ron did? Yeah, I owe you a Twinkie. So, anyway, we would go visit the Alamo, the children would, and it, that's something that you, if you go to, finally, praise God. I have been promising a Twinkie. There are others that we have forgotten that I owe a Twinkie to. Were you? Huh? She did? So we owe you a Twinkie too. That should be. Yeah, that should be a reward, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the light is bright. You from the Congo? No. From where? Angola. Not far from the Congo. Yay. That's wonderful. I was going to greet you in Lingala, but they speak Portuguese there. Yeah, see, I knew that. You can speak in Lingala too? Wow, Mbote. Mbote Lisusu.
Yes.
Mingi, Mingi. Mercy, Mingi. Amen. See, we have missionaries too. Glory to God. The Alamo. What is the symbol of freedom in Israel? Which one would you say? One of the great memorials to freedom is Masada. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know whether we are going to visit Masada. We are? Whoa. That's great. We're going to be in Israel. Is it too late to? Are you coming? Yes. Amen. There are several people going to be coming. Wow. Is it too late to sign up? Hey,
nope.
Those of you listening to me on the World Wide Web, I have forgotten this last. I did tell them that I was going to, but didn't invite them. And I should have done that. I did invite them. Oh, good. Thank you, Heather. So, Masada is a place. How many of you would like to go to Israel?
Yeah. Come on.
Well,
make
we're going
it
to.
So, Lord.
That's
make
part
it so.
Of the new source of income
make
that
so.
We prophesied.
Amen.
May you
make
be able
it
to go
so,
to.
Lord. Yes.
May you be able to
so.
Come to Israel with us. It is life changing and so much fun. And you will remember it. And one of the places that is memorable is to visit Masada, because that's where about 900, I believe, Jewish people who just said, we are not going to bow our knee to the Roman government and the Roman oppression. And they were attacked by a very vicious Roman commander, and basically none of them would give up. And so they all gave their lives for freedom at Masada. The symbol I used to have on my study table, but I think it's somewhere in my packing, is we got, Bonnie and I were active in ministry behind the Iron Curtain. We went several times to Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, of course Russia, the Soviet Union, and in one of the living words I taught was on fasting and prayer. And at that time, I was working on my book, The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting, also. And so, but I told the pastors, I remember, in Yugoslavia and Czechoslovakia, that when I leave, you guys all get together. There were pastors of several churches who sponsored a meeting. And I said, go on a 40-day fast and see what God does. I mean, a corporate fast. And on the 40th day of that fast, almost in a matter of weeks, all of those communist yokes fell. And one of them was the Berlin Wall. And I had a piece of the Berlin Wall. They sent me a piece of the Berlin Wall. I have it somewhere. But the fall of the Berlin Wall was one of the other symbols of freedom, yeah. Where the people were oppressed. And then I believe it was totally the Lord who we had prophesied that the curtain would fall. In one of the major reasons was so that in the last days, the Jews who dreamed to be in Israel, that they could make Aliyah. And they were able to make that. So that's, and that in that classic symbols of liberty and freedom, we have, of course, we have our Liberty Bell. We have the Statue of Liberty. We have, what's the other symbol of American freedom?
Bald eagle.
You get another Twinkie.
Yay!
I mean, this is Twinkie Kingdom for you. God wanted to give you the double round so you could share it with your wife and she wouldn't demand to cut your thing in half. So, praise God. So the Statue of Liberty came in 1886, I believe, where at least started building it. And then I think at a certain time they brought it. So that was it. But I was wanting to think just a little bit about some of the present battles or controversies. How many of you, we're going to talk about Old Glory for a moment. But before I do it, how many of you remember seeing Red Skelton and his Pledge of Allegiance? Have you? Mm-hmm. You remember? That he would. You could Google that sometime. Red Skelton was a great comedian in the 40s and 50s, but he had a television shows in the 50s, and he used to share that, I think around July the 4th, on his version of the Pledge of Allegiance, and he would go like this. And his teacher, he will never forget, in primary school, his teacher taught the Pledge of Allegiance the way she taught it. He practiced it, and then he shared it on television program. It became a classic. And he would stand, I. That means me, he says. All an individual, a committee of one. Pledge. Say pledge.
Pledge.
So just dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance. Say allegiance.
Allegiance.
My love and my devotion. To the flag. Say to the flag. That's our standard, all glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there is a respect because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. I pledge allegiance to the flag of United. Say United.
United.
That means that we have all come together. United States. Say states.
States.
Individual communities that have united into 48, now 50 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose, all divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that is love for country. And to the Republic, say, and to the Republic.
And to the Republic.
A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern, and government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. It's important. For which it stands. One nation. Say one nation.
One nation.
Meaning so blessed by God. Indivisible. Incapable of being divided.
Amen.
With liberty, which is freedom. The right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear of some sort of retaliation. And justice. Say injustice.
Injustice.
The one silent ones, you are probably for injustice, but we are saying, no, I'm just kidding. With justice. Say with justice.
With justice.
The principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. Say for all.
For all.
Which means boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And then he remembered his teacher saying, now boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Used to be, there were two words were later added, and it was not in the original, and that to the Pledge of Allegiance. Do you know which two
under
words
God.
Were added? Under God. You get a Twinkie. Maybe you can share it with your husband. And by the way, all glory. This flag is called All Glory. And one of the origins, I found out that it was Captain William Driver in 1824, and he was just a young man, and he got a commission to go be a captain of a ship. And his mother gave him, and the ladies in the neighborhood gave him a flag of the United States, and he just instinctively said, I name her All Glory, and it's going to fly with me for over my ship wherever I go. And then when he kind of retired from the sea, in 1837, he settled in Nashville and bequeathed All Glory, his flag, to his daughter and said, this has been precious to me. That's supposedly the way people started referring to the United States flag as All Glory. And but the flag of the United States, this last few days, there has been some kind of indirect attack on the flag by people pointing out that the original design was made by Betsy Ross, and it they put negative connotations, and part of me just rose up because I love some of the studies of that time in history. It's one of the most interesting times. I was quite an expert in the Ancien Regime. That at the same time as what we were going through in 1776 and all that time, the France was going through a great conniption fit, in a sense. And there was a revolution, and they dethroned King Louis XVI, and thousands of their nobility were executed. But at the same time, you compare in the nations where there was freedom to worship, there was, instead of revolution, and executions of thousands of people. Instead, in England, it was the revivals of John Wesley.
Yeah.
And they, the whole, as they were in consternation, trying to find answers for the needs of the common people, they turned England, through some of the revivalists, like John Wesley, Charles Wesley, and here we turn also to the living God. And there was, we threw off the King of England at that time and his government, but it was done in as godly a manner as they could. And the people who had influenced them were, I mean, the first great awakening influence, and then afterwards, the second great awakening. And so in all of this last 3 weeks, you may have heard that they objected to the flag designed by Betsy Ross. Did you hear? How many of you heard that? Some kind of controversy about that. And I thought it was pretty, it was lack of knowledge who made them make negative comments, because that she was one of the most, I consider her a great lady at the time of the revolution. Because it says, during this whole time of the birth of the free United States of America and the Revolutionary War with George Washington, that they needed a flag. And in Philadelphia, where they were meeting, was a very well-known seamstress, was a really godly lady, and it says that as she had a shop, there were others who helped her sewing. And one day, with her girls around her, it says, several gentlemen entered. She recognized one of these as the uncle of her deceased husband. Her husband was Colonel George Ross. Her uncle was George Ross. a delegate from Pennsylvania Congress. She also knew the handsome form feature of the dignified yet graceful and polite commander-in-chief who, while he was yet Colonel Washington, so talking about George Washington, had visited her shop both professionally and socially many times, a friendship caused by a connection with the Ross family. They announced themselves as a committee of Congress, stated they had been appointed to prepare a flag, and asked her if she thought she could make one, to which she replied with her usual modesty and self-reliance that she did not know, but she could try. She had never made one, but if the pattern were shown to her, she had no doubt about her ability to do it. The committee produced a conceptual drawing. Seamstress Ross did not like the design, suggesting improvements. Washington agreed with her, grabbed a pencil, and revised the drawing. So this was story was taken, was given by a man named William Canby, who was the grandson of Betsy Ross. And so he tells the story about his family, and see the improvement she suggested, this small little detail, fun. The drawing she that the people drew for her was a six-pointed star, and Betsy Ross said, 5 points will work better. The committee member said, no, that would be too much work. And Canby wrote, nothing easier, was Betsy Ross' reply. And folding a piece of paper in the proper manner, with one clip of her ready scissors, she quickly displayed to the astonished vision the five-pointed star, which accordingly took its place in the national standard. Now, what some people who don't know some of the details, because I had one of the most exciting professors in university, in college, and we really went over the Revolutionary War and the time of the revolution in France. And I kind of almost became an expert in some of the details. We had to write papers and all of that. But anyway, in the context, the reason I'm kind of pointing this out was one of the last persons you would accuse of being connected with slavery and all that would be Betsy Ross, because she was a Quaker at that time. And the Quakers were the leading abolitionists in the nation. If you were a Quaker, it meant you were an abolitionist. You fought against any point of slavery. And so on one side was John Wesley. In the United States, it was Finney and others who absolutely, in their preaching, and who was the other guy? Charles Spurgeon. They were preaching in this place. And one of the major subjects they would have, they thought slavery was repugnant and was major sinful in any kind of culture. And they preached against it. And if you were in the Finney's revival, if you were converted, you were also became a major abolitionist. So the Quakers were the pioneers in the abolitionist movement in England and in the United States. So for people to in any way connect Betsy Ross is like really an impugning of history, because that's the Quakers. Even now, if there were Quaker ghosts, they would come and haunt people. If they said that you were involved in slavery. No, they were the leaders to get rid of slavery. Anyway, I thought that was just an important aspect for us to just think of today and be fair. And so Betsy Ross helped us design the flag of the United States of America, and that it is symbolic of God's grace over this nation. It represents, therefore, the flag. I heard someone say, we stand for the flag and we kneel for the cross. Some of you may have seen this decision. It came about a week and a half ago that there was this classic 40-foot cross in Maryland at a cemetery for the First World War veterans. And there were some people who brought a lawsuit at the Supreme Court that wanted to take down this cross that's been there since the First World War. And most of the people who have been buried were veterans of the First World War. And all these years it's been staying since it was built in the, I think, around 1919, and then now they wanted to tear it down. And thank God the Supreme Court said, no, it will stay. It would be offensive now to pull down the cross. It's like separation of church and state. The state cannot command the church to pull down any symbol of belief. Anyway, it says in Psalm 60, verse 4, you, Lord, have given a banner to those who fear you. And I believe that it's in the flag of the United States, God has given us a flag to those who have had the healthy fear of the Lord from the beginning time of the history of this nation. So the Bible rendering of the verse 4, you have set up a banner for those who fear and worshipfully revere you, bow to which they may flee from the bow, a standard displayed because of the truth. And so it's the red, the white, and the blue. Blue is for grace, and the stars are emblematic of the sons of Abraham who have believed in him. The spiritual sons, the natural sons, are the Jewish people. So we are like the stars of heaven. Those who have believed in, have faith in Jesus Christ, or Abraham's seed, spiritually. And then we have blue, which is the stars are on a bed of blue, which is heavenly grace. Grace from heaven, symbolic. And then the stars, by the way, they were originally 13, but now there are 50. And it was like in the last days, God is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And it's a prophetic. 50 is symbolic of Pentecost. On the 50th day after resurrection, God pours out his spirit on all flesh. So for us spiritually, 50 is jubilee, that all our debts are paid, that our children will come home who have been enslaved. And it's a prophetic statement that the Lord in the last days has this nation in its arms, and he will pour out his spirit in his grace and mercy. So it's not a coincidence that we have 50 stars. Now, I don't know, I may have to change my theology if one more star is added. Puerto Rico, maybe. Oopsie, I'll have to take out my symbol of the Jubilee. Not really. The stars and stripes, there are six white stripes and seven red stripes. So six is the number of Ben, and seven is the number of grace, heavenly grace, symbolic in the blood of Jesus Christ. So seven is the number of heaven. So the Lord's grace and his blood covers us, and his mercy. By his stripes, we are healed. And so, this 4th of July, I wanted to just spend a moment to say that was such an unfair thing about Betsy Ross bringing her in, because she would have been one of the great, in Philadelphia, she would have been one of the great voices for anti-slavery and abolition. And then Finney, you read Finney's, I was really, all his, much, any of his disciples were the leading voices in their community against slavery and for abolition. Abolitionist means they wanted to totally get rid of any kind of slavery. And remember, in the end, 620,000 people died to set the captives free. And that speaks well of this nation's history. So at this time, we want to say, God bless America.
Amen.
And we are grateful for the freedoms we have, the price that has been paid. And it's no nation in history has had a perfect, I mean, you look at France, and boy, it's got so many in the Huguenots who were massacred in France. There have been stuff that has happened in England. And during the colonial days, you could have pointed to many mistakes that these Britain did, or Belgium did, or many of the others. So all nations have had their particular burps. But I want to tell you, as you experience some of the battles and you read about how we have taken up the challenge, that overall the flag of the United States represents freedom from oppression. It is a symbol that will deeply move you, even as you see some of the examples. Bonnie and I had the privilege of being in Normandy at this place where that, if you saw the movie Longest Day, there's a man who flies and hangs from the cathedral rooftops in Semiraglace, and played by Red Buttons, if you remember. And the real guy who hung went deaf as the church bells were ringing. But all the thousands who landed on D-Day, they are buried there, and you will see the thousands of crosses and a few Stars of David. And you can, often on certain days, they'll put little red flags, put flags of the United States on each of the graves of the thousands who gave their lives to get Europe free. So I just want to once again thank the Lord. We want to say God bless America. And so I want us to come up, all of us here, and just join together. And may there be unity in our land. May the voices of division, I am especially pleading the stripes, the red blood of Jesus, pleading the blood of Jesus over ourselves, over this nation. And thank the Lord for revival. We pray the Lord will protect and give grace and wisdom to our President, President Trump, and his family, protect them in the coming days. And you know, one of the things, I would like to sing, Come Thou Almighty King. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Can we sing, Come Thou Almighty King? And then we'll sing, God Bless America. Bless you. Let us sneeze. Yeah. It says, come, Holy Comforter. So, Father, come, Thou Almighty King. Next verse is, come, Thou Incarnate Word. It's beautiful. And third, come, Holy Comforter, Thy Sacred Witness Bear. In this glad hour, Thou who Almighty art, now rule in every heart, never from us depart. Spirit of power. That's awesome. To thee, great one in three, eternal praises be. Hence evermore, thy sovereign majesty may we in glory see, and to eternity love and adore. Those are just... Can we sing, come Holy Comforter? Do you have those words? Oh, they're on the screen, yeah.
Come, Holy Comforter, Thy sacred witness bear in this glad hour. Thou who Almighty art, now rule in every heart, and every
great one in three, eternal praises be, hence evermore, thy sovereign majesty may we in glory see, and to eternity love and adore.
May we in glory see.
neighbor's hand. Let's just, hallelujah, Father. Just thank you, Father. Thank him for a moment. Hallelujah. Adore him. Bless him. Three in one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That just puts you in the presence of the Trinity. I mean, those words, so powerful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We pray for each family here. We bless each of us, Lord. Each of our children. We take the prophetic word. You're opening wells that have not been opened yet. Wells of provision and healing and deliverance and restoration, Lord. We do pray for each other. Pray in the Spirit for a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray for me. Bless each one here, those watching us on the internet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for people who need healing. Father, we pray for Sister Teresa Harris, that she needs a miracle touch, and that stage 4 cancer will be touched right now. And all those families, by helping members of the family where cancer is concerned, Lord, let that demonic stronghold fall. Give us healings. Jesus, you are Jehovah Rapha. We name you Rapha, healer, over these different situations in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Heal. Give miracles. The person who's got beginning of Parkinson's, Lord, we pray you give us miracle there. Thank you, Lord. This sister who has had the heart condition, Lord, give us a revival in the name of Jesus. We do bless. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We declare the drought is over this nation where revival glory is concerned. Come, Holy Spirit. We bless the United States of America as we celebrate July the 4th. We thank you for all glory. Thank you that it flies high. And we give you all the praise and the glory for the victory, for the restoration of the economy. We pray, give us Holy Ghost restoration, Holy Ghost revival. Give us like the days of Finney and the days of Wesley, Lord. Let our nation turn to you in great awakening, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. You know what, Jenna, let's sing God Bless America. All righty.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.